Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Mr. Speaker Speaks. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. Please take a moment and check me out on the internet at www.vincenttedwards.com. That's vincenttedwards.com. My guest today, she has just graced me with another opportunity to interview her in the studio, Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli. She's been on before, and she is just amazing. Her specialty is leadership. She is a very dynamic speaker, a wonderful, wonderful person. She's a coach, author, entrepreneur, and an educator who inspires leadership in others and helps improve motivation, performance, and learning. She is the CEO of Gabrielle Consulting, Inc., where her clients include education, large corporations, small businesses, nonprofits, and government. Dr. Gabrielli holds a BA in communication with an emphasis in journalism from Florida A&M University. She earned her master's in mass communication, media communication, and marketing research, and her doctorate in educational psychology and learning systems, instructional systems from Florida State University. She promotes stewardship and lives by the philosophy that life is a journey to be enjoyed. Find your passion and live it. Dr. Gabrielle, you look like you've been living your passion today.
I have. Every day I live my passion. Yeah. And that's what makes life
so
wonderful.
Yes, indeed. And today you're going to share some insight and help the listening audience with something that I think that most people need to get a grasp and their arms around. It's prioritizing your life.
Mm.
Wow, that sounds really, really deep and time-consuming.
Yes, but the time invested is well rewarded.
When you talk about prioritizing your life, what do you really mean? Because as individuals, we have so many things going on in our lives, so many roles that we play. How do we go about it? What do you really mean?
What I mean is that so many people are filling their lives with things that don't matter. They have possessions that are costing them financially, that are costing them time. They have people in their lives that are costing them energy, costing them time, that maybe don't need to be there. They have tasks in their lives that are costing them energy, costing them time, maybe even costing them money, that don't need to be in their lives. And so a common thing that I hear from people who are otherwise really good people is, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to do this. I'm too busy to do that. Or even they have something they aspire to do. And I ask how things are going. They say, I've been too busy. For example, everybody has fitness goals, I hope. Health goals, at least. You know, how are things going toward your health goals? Well, I haven't had time to go for a walk. What do you mean you don't have time? All you're saying is, it's not a priority. I'm not a priority.
Whoa. So if I hear you correctly, Dr. Gabrielli, if I don't have the time, it's not important?
Exactly. It's not a priority. It's just not a priority if you don't have the time. Think about it. You'll always make time for something or someone that you want to. Right? You'll make time to sit and watch TV. You'll make time to go to a restaurant and hang out. You'll make time to go to a sporting event. You'll make time to maybe even do things you don't really want to do. Yet you say something is important and you don't have time to do it. And the truth is, you haven't really made it the priority you claim that it is.
So how do you go about setting priorities? But first, these two words, management, and time. Mm-hmm. But typically you hear it the other way around, right. Time management. What is that all about, and how does that play into prioritizing one's life?
Well, it's an oxymoron. You cannot manage time. You can only manage the way you spend your time. We have a set number of hours and minutes in every day, and the only time that changes is daylight saving time and the like, right? And which we all just went through again.
Yes, indeed.
trying to get back in the swing of things every time the clock changes by an hour. But truly, we have the same number of hours in the day. And there's been a lot of research on this. And to me, one of the most telling things that I have people do is I have them keep a log for three continuous days of typical days. And if they work, I like it to be work days. Mm. And I have them log their time, every minute of their time for a 24-hour period. And suddenly they find that they have a lot of busy time, a lot of distracted time, a lot of meaningless time, and in many cases, a lot of unaccounted for time.
Unaccounted for time?
That's right.
Even if I'm logging it, it's unaccounted for, meaning that I'm just sitting there staring out the window.
Often it'll be 4 hours, you know, out of 24.
And
it's
I
like,
can't
wait,
find
what
it.
Happened to your time? You know, that tells you a lot about the fact that if you're not aware of how you're spending your time, you can't change the way you spend it. That goes for anything. People who log their intake of calories, for example, are much more likely to lose weight. People who are tracking their spending are much more likely to save money. People who track how they spend their time are much more likely to find time to spend in better ways that are more important to them.
So what I'm hearing it is write it down.
Write it down. Keep a detailed log for three consecutive days. Hopefully they're typical days. And just log everything, every single thing you do, and then take a look and ask yourself, you know, did it total 24 hours in each day? Did I have a lot of distractions? Was it really being spent on meaningful things to me? You know, was there something I should have been doing instead?
Mm. You talked about earlier eliminating people and things and all types of things. What role does basic organization from your home, your workplace, what role does that play in prioritizing your life? Does it have any impact on how you feel, how you go about doing things?
It has a major role. And so I always say the clutter in your life is the clutter in your heart. And so
whoa, that's deep.
It is. But if you're if you have a lot of clutter, then it's a good sign that you're not addressing some issues that you should be. And so tackle the worst first. Get rid of the clutter in your life, and you will feel such a sense of freedom. It's often bogging you down and impacting other parts of your day that you don't even realize. Maybe you have clutter, you know, in your home. And
so
you're
if
thinking,
my closet is just in disarray, that can affect me?
Absolutely. Psychologically, it impacts you. And think about it. Where do you go when you get up in the morning and you need to get your clothes for the rest of the day? Where do you go?
To the closet.
And if you see your closet in disarray, how does that set your mood for the rest of the day? What are you thinking when you see a closet that's just a mess?
Where's my suit?
Right. And you maybe spend a lot more time looking for what you want to wear than what you would have if it were organized. That's one thing. You're wasting time just finding things. And then it also just psychologically doesn't make you feel really good about how you're doing, does it?
Wow. Is that the same when it comes to my workplace, my office?
Yeah, I hate to say, I know a lot of people that think they have an organized mess and they know exactly where
I know exactly. It's right there under that fifth pile on the left behind the blue box on the floor.
But you know, what message are you sending to other people who enter your office? And what's worse is, what message are you sending to yourself? You know, what message are you saying in the disarray that exists in your life, in the
piles? I can get through an obstacle course.
Yeah. That's not the message I read into it.
I can do well in land navigation.
It might just mean you're a hot mess, you know. So.
So what are some of the action steps that an individual, because I mean, you look at things and we're talking about prioritizing your life. We're starting with something simple as organization. I mean, you look at this and it's like, it's too big to tackle. I don't even, just let it go.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere. And it's actually best to start with the worst first. So when it comes to clutter, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of clutter that can happen. Physical clutter is one that we've already talked about. Other things are brain clutter, process clutter, and technology clutter.
Whoa. You have to elaborate on those. Brain clutter. I'm a smart person. I have a lot of stuff stored up here.
Yeah. And so sometimes what we do is we spend so much time shoving information into our brain when really we don't need to be spending our time recalling information. We should make sure that we have cues of where to find that information. We don't need to be spending time recalling information. So use your mind for thinking and not for remembering.
So what about that trivia contest that's coming up? And I have that statistic from 1937.
Well, now if you're good for, you know, I would not do well with the trivia contest personally. But external cues should be for remembering. These are things like calendars, which, by the way, that's a big thing with me. People who keep multiple calendars are wasting their time. I see people all the time that keep multiple calendars. They have a work calendar. They have a personal calendar. They're written. Often they forget something that they have an appointment that they forgot because they didn't, you know, transfer it from one calendar to the other. They might have an electronic calendar that they're not keeping very well. You need to move, ideally, if you have a phone, if you have a smart device, if you have a computer, to an electronic calendar. And have it synchronized among your devices so that you have one calendar that's stored everywhere.
Yeah. And I do that. Here's a question I want to pose with regard to that one calendar. For example, what if you work for an organization or an entity? How do you keep everything on one calendar if you have a work calendar? Like I know in state government or government offices, you're not allowed to use their equipment to do certain things. And so things are on that calendar and then you have your personal calendar. How do you sync the two? So do you have to put everything on your work calendar, on your personal calendar? Because if you...
It kind of depends on where you work and what technology you're using, but almost always your work calendar is able to be synchronized externally so that you could store it on your personal device. And you can have separate calendars within your device. So, for example, I'll have like 8 different calendars that are stored on one device. So one might be, you know, personal, and one might be medical, one might be fitness, one might be business, and so on. But depending on where you work, often you can have that synchronized externally, and then it's not such a big thing. I do see certain places where you work, you have to actually carry 2 devices with you, which which adds a whole new level of complexity to the issue. But other external cues are to-do lists. It's a fact that a to-do list is a really important way to reduce brain clutter. So everyone should keep a to-do list. And just the checking of the box really helps. And it doesn't even need to be necessarily a written to-do list. There are apps now that you can have if you prefer to use technology that simulate, you know, written to-do lists. I personally prefer these because then they synchronize across all of my devices and I have them, you know, alerting me as to when I need to do something. Also, there is something that I like that's a to-don't list. It's the opposite of a to-do list. Things you won't do, the things that you will not spend your time doing. And so I think this is something that not a lot of people think about, but how many hours of the week do you spend doing things that don't bring you joy or don't add value to your life?
That you have control over?
Now, Vincent, how much control do we really have over anything in our lives? Okay.
Well, you know, if that boss says you have to go to this meeting, you don't really have much control. Yeah, I'm just tossing it out there. Heard that.
Yeah.
A to-don't list.
To-don't list.
Wow.
Okay. And maybe it's things like not compromising your values, you know, are part of your to-don't list.
Well, I can agree with that, but I've never thought about putting it on a to-don't list.
I have clients and friends who've done this, and it's awesome for them. You know, it just makes them have boundaries about what they will do and what they won't do, what they refuse to do. So it helps them with how they allocate their time. Other things are checklists. These are great. Tickler files, if you're kind of old fashioned and you do have, you know, printed files,
paper.
I have students and I keep written files on them as well, tests and the like. And so files are good. And then electronic reminders are other ways to help reduce brain clutter.
Reduce brain clutter. You're listening to Mr. Speaker Speaks. I'm Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. My guest today in the studio is Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli, and we're talking about prioritizing your life. It's a little bit more about some clutter.
Okay. Other kinds of clutter?
You talked about technology clutter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, technology clutter.
Is that so many devices? I got to get the latest and the greatest. And
that can be part of it, but much more likely is going to be things like people not using technology efficiently. So a lot of people have thousands of emails in their inbox, and they're not organized into filters or folders. So, for example, I have mine set up so that when they come in, it's automatically filtered. So I have rules set up with my software program so that things will automatically go into folders where I want them to be. And even if you don't do that, if you manually move them into folders, it really helps. So that's one thing. Only respond to emails that are sent directly to you is another thing. I don't know about you, but I get very frustrated when I'm on a distribution list of an email and somebody feels the need to say, reply all to everyone and say, great, or thank you, or, you know, that's technology clutter, and that's frustrating. How many emails a day do you get personally?
Outside of spam?
No, total, just including spam.
Oh, my goodness. I get over 100,
yeah,
over 100 emails a day easily.
Yeah, and I get even more, and I have multiple email accounts. So that's technology clutter. If you spend all your time reading your emails, or even just scouring through which ones are spam and which ones aren't, think about how many minutes per day that takes up.
Wow. So that gets into this thing about, on average, how much time do people spend wasting time?
Right.
What types of things take away or distract you from doing the things that you're supposed to do? I know I found myself at times, you know, oh, I need to find out a little bit of information about this, and I'll go to the internet, and then there's this little ad or something that catches my attention, and then before you know it, an hour's gone by.
Shiny object, right?
Squirrel!
Squirrel! Right. It happens very frequently in this world, unfortunately. That's why multitasking doesn't actually work, right? There's a lot of research that shows that, and I used to think I was a great multitasker.
Oh, I can do all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, I'm great. I have 14 windows open at once, and then, you know, the next thing you know, it's 3 hours later, and what did I get done on the one thing I needed to? So if you're working on something important, it needs to be completely distraction-free time. So let's say you have a deadline of writing something, a proposal. You do not check your email in this time. Turn off all alerts, Okay.
I'm getting the shakes.
I know. The thing with alerts is that it comes in and it's like Pavlov's dogs. Ding! We suddenly stop what we're doing, right? And we go and check our email and, oh, it's spam. Boy, I just wasted time there. Let me just delete this. And then we go back and our brain has to then re-engage in what we're doing. So it's a terrible use of what would otherwise be productive time.
How long does it really take you to start refocusing once your attention?
It's typically like 10 minutes if it's an important task. So you think about how many times you're distracted. This is why the log is so important. Another really, really key thing to do that not a lot of people do that I think is something that's very beneficial is to keep an energy log. Figure out your circadian rhythm, times of the day. Like
circadian, that's a big word. Yes. Break it down for us. Circadian rhythm.
Yes. So times of the day, are you a morning person, for example? Times of the day when your peak energy is. So when are you most productive? When do you get your best work done? When is the time of day when you feel your very best brain activity, you know? And then when is that lull? What time of day do you feel yourself kind of sinking into what most of us tend to do is kind of become less productive in that time. Do you know when your times are, when you're most productive and least productive?
Typically early mornings, most productive, and then sometimes late night, like around after 9 or 10, it gets quiet and I can really focus.
And when is your lull?
My lull, probably between about 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And that's pretty normal. That's an after lunch kind of thing typically, right?
Yeah, it's just like, and
so the best thing to do is to do your mundane tasks then. So what happens is people, instead of doing their mundane tasks then, is they go in the morning and the first thing they do is they start with email, right?
Yes, indeed. Email and returning phone calls.
Right. And these are mundane tasks that don't require a lot of brain activity, a lot of brain energy, right? What you should be doing is working on your very most important tasks at your peak energy time.
That report that needs to go to the CEO.
Yes. So if you're a morning person, have your uninterrupted work time in the morning working on those important tasks, and then check your email when you get to that lull. Wait, just wait. I have seen profound changes in productivity made, and therefore people having a lot more time in their day as a result of making this little change.
And when we look at a typical 8-hour day, you know, on average, realistically, do people really work 8 hours?
No, they do not. And during times of change, it's even less. So it's significantly less. There's a lot of, unfortunately, Bureau of Labor Statistics has found that gossip goes up to 40% of the day during times of change, which I don't know about you, but there's a lot of change happening in the world right now.
Yes,
and
it
probably
is.
In the workplace. Nice. So. Yeah.
So 40%?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's almost half a day.
I know. Well, think about office chatter. Think about how many times people come into people's offices to talk about what happened on the weekend. Think about that one person who always has to tell you the story that goes on.
That's the person you need to eliminate so you can prioritize your life.
Right. Or if nothing else, you need to stop being quite so polite and let them know, if it's a friend especially, you know, hey, let's talk during lunch. I really have an important thing that I need to get done today.
So what can I do in my personal life to help remove clutter, to help me to become better at prioritizing? You know, I have so many things going on, so much stuff. How do I decide what's important, what really matters, what do I need to get rid of, what do I need to keep?
Mm-hmm. Well, first consider what don't you need to be doing and purge. So look at your calendar and think about these things that maybe we were kind of drawn into by somebody else, and maybe they were well-meaning and we're attending these events or whatever it is, and we're not really getting a lot of value. Perhaps it was a networking thing that in the beginning, maybe it was a value to you and it's really not a value anymore. Whatever it is, think about, is it adding value to you? Are you benefiting from being part of it? And if the answer is no, then step away. Start purging things. Unless you have an abundance of time, step away from it. Walk away. And make time instead for things that really matter. Things that are adding value to you, your life, your family, your passion, your work, whatever it is. Make sure that it's something that's important to you.
So what role does setting personal goals play in prioritizing one's life? And then this one word called procrastination.
So setting personal goals is something that every good leader does. And when I hear people say that they don't have goals, it breaks my heart a little bit for them, because I think you have to have personal goals in order to have priorities. If you don't have goals, then you're just kind of aimlessly, you know, going through life and really you don't know where your focus should be. And maybe you are spending your time doing lots of things that aren't really getting you anywhere because you don't really know where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So you need to spend time reflecting on where you want to be. And that time will pay off in the long run. And it's understandable that people will go through times of transition where maybe they don't have the answers of where they want to be, but ultimately you need to set goals. Maybe start small, start with a little goal. Maybe your goal is to clean your closet, to reduce clutter in your life. You know, whatever it is, start with a goal, and you're going to gain confidence from setting that goal and achieving it. And then set a new goal and make it bigger and better until you finally find what your passion is.
You're listening to Mr. Speaker Speaks. My guest is Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli, and we're talking about prioritizing your life. Taking on too much, thriving on busy. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not take on too much? The statement, the phrase that I hear all the time is, if you want something done,
give it to a busy person. Yes.
And so.
And yes. And we've been those busy people, right?
Yes, indeed.
And it's hard to say no.
And we manage to get things done.
Right. But to what detriment? It burns out good people. It frustrates them. It's not a good thing to give.
It's like punishment. It's like.
It really is. And the thing is, your really good people will take on more stuff. But ultimately, you're going to burn them out. You're going to wear them out. And you're going to probably make them want to leave, you know, whatever organization
Indeed.
You're working with.
So,
and if you are that person who has a hard time saying no, you've got to learn to say no. You can do so in a tactful way. For example, you can say, thank you so much for thinking of me. I, with anything that I do, I like to give it my all. And I honestly just don't have the energy or the time right now to give, to provide the effort that I would like to anything else right now.
But I'll give you the extra time, Dr. Gabrielle. I really want you on this project.
You know, and then what I would probably say, unless it was something important to you, right? If it was something important to you, fine, okay. Shift some other things around. But if it's not, then just say, you know, reach back out to me if in a year from now you have the same needs or new needs in this area, reach back out to me. But I absolutely cannot commit to anything for the next year. I am completely tied up for the next year with other obligations.
And I like the way you slid that in. Get back with me next week.
Yeah.
Get back with me
next
in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard that.
In other words, go find somebody else for the next year. And if you still need me, reach back out to me. But I can't make any promises that
right.
things
and
are going to be any
You didn't say
different.
I would definitely do. You
no.
said reach back out right. to me. And at that time, yeah. you would, okay, decide. So the optimal or the key word there is learn to say no.
Learn to say no. There are too many yes people in this world that are yesing themselves to death, and they don't have time for things that matter to them because all they're doing is helping everybody else except for themselves.
So that leads to this one, thriving on busy.
Right.
I've got to, you know, is it the fact that I've got to be doing something?
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm doing so much, but I'm just spinning around and not going anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not focused energy. It's just energy expended for the sake of being busy. And outwardly, at first, it seems as though this person does have, you know, focused energy. But then you realize that they're actually very scattered. And once you realize that and learn to focus that energy, it's a completely different ballgame. Mm.
What have you found in all of your work, research, working with clients to be the one challenge that people have that's pretty much across the board with regard to prioritizing their life? Something that's, you know, I won't say systematic, but it's like a common theme that keeps people from prioritizing their life, whether it's fear or mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. What would you say that would be?
Well, I think it depends on the person, but a common theme that I see is failure to delegate, and then fear is another common theme. So it kind of goes either way with failure to delegate or fear of failure, or fear of success often kind of go hand in hand. But failure to delegate is a really important thing when it comes to freeing up your time. And here's a good example. Maybe you love doing yard work. I have to say that because, you know, sometimes I see my neighbors out there doing yard work and maybe you do love it, but also maybe you're very busy with your work and you're busy with your business and you're busy with your family and you just feel like you don't have any time. Perhaps you could delegate some of that yard work to somebody else to free up your time. And also think about what's your value. What do you think you're worth per hour? You know, maybe it's not yard work. Maybe it's cleaning your house. I know of a situation where a young mother with two children under the age of three was feeling overwhelmed. She's working. She's an executive. She and her husband are both working. They were just overwhelmed, and Saturdays would come around, and all she was doing was cleaning. And so much for quality, you know, family time at home. So they finally, even though, you know, they weren't of great means, decided that it would just make sense to hire some help to clean the house. And it's made the family a lot less stressed, and it's freed up their time to do things that are much more important to them.
Well, because what I'm hearing there is when you assess a value to your time, you know, and I'll just throw out, you know, $100 an hour, and you're like, wow, it's taking me 3 hours to do this. That's $300 that I could have been doing something else more productive. Would it make sense to subcontract or hire out and get somebody else to do that?
Yeah. For less than that? In most neighborhoods, you can get lawn work for a little less than $100 an hour, for example. You might just be able to have, you know, 6 months of yard work for what you did in a full day, right? Yeah. So it is a good example.
Okay.
And think about it. If you own a business, for example, maybe that would be business building time. Maybe it would be time that would actually pay off in the long run, where you're making more money from the time that you're investing, and rather than the time that you're spending doing things that possibly don't even bring you joy. I said maybe you love yard work. Maybe you don't like yard work, but you feel obligated to do so. Maybe you don't love house cleaning, but you feel obligated to do so. These are things that could be delegated. And in the workplace, I see a lot of things that people are doing that they should be delegating.
So what are the benefits that one could realize from having a life with set priorities?
So many benefits, but one of the key ones is work-life balance. And so, you know, I have a leadership academy, and so many people come in wanting really to work on their careers or whatever, but what they leave with is work-life balance. Because once they start focusing their life around their priorities, everything changes. Their personal life, their work life, their focus on their health, fitness, and everything else that matters to them. Purging people that have been sucking the life and the energy out of their lives. Purging tasks. Purging things. It's freeing. It's absolutely freeing. And the next thing you know, they have work-life balance. And they have time to really enjoy people in their lives that matter. And maybe even things like tasks that they've missed. I know people that, you know, used to do a lot of music or art or something that was a creative outlet for them. And they hadn't done it in a long time because they didn't have time. And I encouraged them to purge some things and make time for something that used to matter a lot to them. I always say to people, if there's something you used to love doing and you can't figure out why you stopped, just add it back to your schedule. Find something else you can get rid of, add that back to your schedule, and just see what happens. Normally, it's pretty life-changing.
Wow. And this conversation has truly been life-changing, and I hope my listening audience walks away with something from today's conversation on prioritizing your life. My guest, Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli. Dr. Gabrielli, any last words from this whole concept of prioritizing your life?
I think a lot of what we need to do is change our mindset. And to change our mindset, we need to change our words. So don't say, I don't have time. because all you're saying is it's not a priority. So if you say to somebody that matters to you, somebody you care about, I don't have time to talk to you right now, you're saying you are not a priority. This is big.
That's really big.
And I see people do this with their home lives, with people who they love, their family, their children, and they're sending the wrong message. And also with language, I hear people say all the time, I have to. And this is a big one for me. I have to go to work today. I have to make a house payment today. I have to pick up my children. Guess what? You get to. How blessed are you? You have a job. You have a home. You have a family. Change your language. Change your life. Change your world. Change your priorities.
With that being said, you've been listening to Mr. Speaker Speaks. There's nothing I can add to that. That's a closing line. You've been listening to Mr. Speaker Speaks and my guest today, Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli, and we had a great discussion on prioritizing your life. If you're listening today, please take a moment, go back, rewind, listen again, because I'm sure there's something here to help you to get to where you need to be and to help eliminate those things that are cluttering up your life. In all that you do, be magnificent. Until next time, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.
3, 2, 1. Network.